Hello and welcome to Queering Eve, a spoiler-free-ish podcast about the TV show Killing Eve, made by some queers. Hi, I'm Naya, and I'm the one who adopted a cat today!
Hi, I'm Nina, and I'm the one who also adopted the same cat today.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you might hear meowing at some point. We'll see.
Hopefully.
Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm the one who's drinking beet juice right now.
Ooh.
Brave.
Yeah.
Super, super exciting. It's actually mixed with apple juice, so
still
it's
brave.
Fine, but I'm kind of into it recently.
Would you say that it tastes good? Not just okay, but good.
It's a bit of an acquired taste, but once you acquire it, it's good.
Queering Eve, 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 Eve.
Today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 7, which is titled Beautiful Monster. It was written by Laura Neal, who has written 2 other Killing Eve episodes, and directed by our old friend Damon Thomas.
He's done so many Killing Eve episodes that his IMDb image is a photo of Jodie Comer or something from like filming the show.
Okay, we open on Villanelle looking stressed among some armor. She's specifically suspicious of one person-shaped thing.
When she's suspiciously looking at that armor, the way it's shot, it makes you almost believe like it moved. Like it turned its head thingy. And I actually had to go back and check if that maybe actually happened. It did not happen. It's just a close-up, but
cool.
I don't know if they did it on purpose or not, but definitely gave the vibes to me.
Mm. Nice. Then Hélène enters the scene and invites Villanelle into a weird long room. So we meet Rianne, or we just are notified that she exists and she stands there.
Yes, I think that's more accurate.
Then Villanelle thinks about how she would kill Hélène, and she decides that she would do it with a tiny chair. And she wants to sit in that tiny chair, but Hélène does not allow it.
Because
smart, I think.
Which you did not mention, there is a tiny chair in that room.
Oh, yeah. There is one.
Not just, you know, wherever you go, there's always a tiny chair around.
Then we learn that everyone really wants to poke Villanelle's wound.
It's awful.
And Hélène does it a bit, but then hugs her, and it's very sexually charged.
Yes.
I think I didn't notice it being sexually charged in the previous episode, but now I see it.
Mm. Yeah, Villanelle says, thank you for the inappropriate touching.
Yeah. And then we learn that Hélène loves chaos.
Yes. Oh my god, that was my favorite thing. I was so excited. It was like just confirmation that Hélène is
in the
head of the 12. Like, obviously it was her idea that, like, ever since she was a child, her favorite thing has been chaos. So much so that as she grew up, she got to, like, make an organization whose sole purpose was chaos. She really made it, and I'm proud of her, and I enjoyed this line.
She also apparently thinks that chaos, I don't know, clears things up and makes them start again or whatever, which I fundamentally disagree with.
Oh, I was just gonna ask, do you as an anarchist agree with this?
Fuck off!
She also says that Villanelle is an agent of chaos, which is something. It's something. Even though we make a lot of fun of the theory that the sole purpose of the 12 is chaos, I do think that this monologue about how Hélène likes Villanelle because she is kind of unpredictable and doesn't want to follow orders, it does make sense.
Mm, I agree, yeah.
But then she also calls Villanelle a monster, a beautiful monster.
Isn't that a Lady Gaga song? Sorry, Naya.
I don't know, maybe. I think Lady Gaga fans are called little monsters, so...
Oh my god, okay. Sorry, please continue.
Yeah, so here Villanelle was like looking so upset that she got called monstrous, and she even like starts crying, and I was like, oh no, is Villanelle really supposed to be this emotionally fragile? Like, is that what we're supposed to think? But then she says that she took a shit in her mom's shoe, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay. It was, yeah, that makes more sense for the character.
I do feel like this was framed like she was gonna emotionally do something, but then she decided to go back to her original persona.
Mm.
And I did not like that very much, because I don't think Villanelle's persona is an act. I think that's how she is.
But I still preferred that she went back to rude and making fun of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, then Hélène tells Villanelle that she has no idea what she's doing, and Villanelle thinks that's very sexy. And then we get to see the opening thingy with the splashy stuff and shit.
Yeah, this is the second time, right?
Yeah. Then we go to a breakfast place where Carolyn and Mo are talking. And Mo informs Carolyn that Paul tried hot yoga, but then gave up on it. And also went to the store. And Mo says this is just standard white person stuff. And then Carolyn takes his omelet away, which made me really sad. Carolyn thinks he's going to the shop and trying hot yoga must just be a cover, because no one would buy that specific wine that he bought.
Also, Carolyn has a great line that goes, jokes are for people who do their job correctly.
I enjoy how Carolyn, instead of saying goodbye, says thank you. And she says it like pointedly, I think twice, so that it's obvious that she is trying to say goodbye, but like she can't say goodbye to do so.
Then Mo leaves and Eve joins, and Carolyn gives her the omelet and then also takes it away again pretty soon.
I feel like I'm just quoting this show a bunch, but there are so many lines that I find so, so fun. When Eve arrives while she's walking towards Carolyn and Mo just left, she says, another young person is fired, which was a perfect line.
So the reason Eve gets her omelet taken away is because she thinks that they should focus on Villanelle being promoted, because obviously she thinks that's what they should focus on. And as she explains how this is what they should focus on, you can just see Carolyn's face getting more and more exasperated, but very subtly, like her eyebrows are going lower and lower.
But also I love what Eve is doing here. She is so convinced that she found something that will be able to justify her obsession. It's incredible. Yeah.
So they accuse each other of having the messiah complex. What's that?
I googled it and I forgot what our brand was, and I googled it.
No!
It's basically a savior complex.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're here yet, but can we talk about something that I hated in this scene? Which was Eve asking Carolyn what she said to Villanelle at that prison in season one in Russia. Russia, the general Russia.
Yeah.
And Carolyn says that she offered her work and Villanelle refused. I hate this because when that happened, it's like such a mysterious thing and you think there's going to be such a payoff, and then you keep waiting for there to be some payoff and there just isn't. And then at this point where you no longer care, you get this answer which is not satisfying in any way. And I feel like it was written in so that at the beginning of season two, there would be something cool that happens there and they just forgot. So then the person writing this was like, oh yeah, let's just close that because I don't care about it. And they added this.
It's just like Geraldine's entire storyline.
Yeah.
I love it when Carolyn says to Eve, heroes only get the girl in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And Eve is in her gay panic again, like, what the heck do you mean? What could you possibly be talking about?
Who is the girl in this situation? What the...
Oh, that meme with the...
Oh, no,
mess.
I wasn't thinking that, but yes, yes.
Her face is doing all kinds of things, truly.
Once again, lots of great face acting on this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My last thought on this scene is, I hope Carolyn ate that omelette.
Does she even like omelettes, or does she just using them?
No, right, she hates
eggs. She just uses them for emphasis making.
For emotional manipulation.
Mm.
Also, at this point in my notes, I gave up on spelling out the word omelette. And I just wrote omelette.
I don't know how to spell it.
I do. Omelette.
Mm-hmm. That's not how spelling bee works. detention center, Moscow.
Yeah, weird how it's not just Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was, I think, the most specific we've ever gotten in Russia, right?
Yeah, or the entire Eastern Europe.
Yes.
Yeah. So here we have our friend Konstantin looking at his daughter Irina through some glass and then trying to convince this doctor person to let him take Irina home. And by making jokes, and it's not really working, so he tries to bribe him, and the dude is so over it. And then Konstantin gets upset, and that makes his chest hurt.
Yes, yes, lots of foreshadowing in this episode.
This plot does not make sense to me. Irina drives over that guy, murders him. Konstantin is the only person witnessing this. He just came to get her for both of them to leave for Cuba. No one else is around. Somehow she ends up at a detention center where Konstantin doesn't want her. So why the fuck take her there?
I have two possible answers. One is that the mom also saw it or assumed it happened, or like Konstantin only told the mom and then like she made this happen, or that Konstantin was so upset that he did take her in, but he didn't know that this would mean she would have to stay for a long time. He just wanted like maybe someone to knock some sense into her.
I guess, yeah, but I wish this was, you know, explained and not just skipped.
I didn't care about that because I just hated what's happening with Irina. This is not the Irina that I grew to love. I really, really disliked her character in this episode.
I didn't have a single opinion on this because I guess I just gave up on this storyline. So no thoughts, head empty for me. Speaking of no thoughts, head empty, we go to Bear and Eve. Bear is coming to work and he finds Eve in the trash talking to herself. He like worriedly watches her do her thing and she finds a cake box, which is what she was looking for.
She also finds some boxer shorts and says, why would someone recycle boxer shorts? And Bear gives this look that makes me feel like maybe those were his.
Mm.
Oh yeah, that definitely happened.
Okay. But also, was that a recycling bin? Did she recycle a whole cake in a box?
Yeah. Obviously, don't do that because you can't recycle that. But also, you also can't recycle boxer shorts. So what gives? Anyway, this show does not like Bear and I don't know why. I mean, I know why because he's fat, but I hate it.
Yeah.
They just make fun of him way more than any other character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of it is done by him personally, but then you still get the reactions of other people, and I just don't like it.
Yeah, and I really like Bear.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he's super nice.
Anyway, Bitter Pill got raided by the police for doing illegal stuff. And Eve is like, whatever, let's do a thing. Bear, give me your laptop. Because apparently she just does not bring her laptop with her and she just wants to use other people's laptops. How rude.
She also says that when Jamie expresses that he's not so happy with doing some more illegal stuff right away, that you can't get raided twice in one day. It's a rule.
Yeah.
The way she says it could either mean that she made that on the spot, or that there is actually some actual rule about that. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I like both options. Yeah. It was good.
Before we get to that illegal stuff, let's go back to Irina and Konstantin, who are now talking in some kind of meeting area of the detention center. And Irina
just keeps making jokes and is like being all chill and, this is great.
Yeah, it sucks.
Which, like, it could be a coping mechanism. I just hate it.
As Konstantin is leaving Irina, she yells after him. She yells two insults. One is in, I think, Icelandic, and it's translated, and the other one is in English. And the English one is bastard, which is very, very chill, very BBC approved. But the Icelandic one is translated in, it's a dick, which I guess if you do it in not English, you can swear a lot more. But yeah, I assumed Icelandic because just before that, Konstantin mentions that she yells at him in Icelandic or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Nice, I like that.
Yeah, smart.
So back to some other criminals who are also about to talk about Iceland.
Yeah!
Eve is trying to get the cake order info on the phone, and apparently she doesn't really know where she's going with it.
I love that. I love that they're like, okay, can stop. And she says something along the lines of like, thank God, I have no idea where this was going.
It's
incredible. Yeah. It makes so much sense that right before that, Bear says something to the effect of like him thinking that Eve is brilliant, which I also loved. So good stuff.
Yeah, she's just about to go into her husband having a terrible accident, and then she just hangs up.
I mean, that is true. Well, accident.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bear found info online, I assume by hacking it.
Hacking online. Hacking the online.
Yeah. He hacked the internet and found this info. There's some talk also about Bear losing his virginity, because of course it would be funny that he has sex because he is fat.
I think it's nice that it happened in Reykjavik. I bet that's a good story.
Maybe it was in the hot springs.
That is an interesting first time. I think if that were the case, he would have told the story in this situation.
Probably.
He did want to tell more, but didn't get to, because Barcelona gets mentioned, and Eve is like, that's her. Can you get me card info? And Bear's like, not legally, which is wild, because did he get this previous info legally?
He does not understand the context of where they're at, like, they were just raided by the police, etc., etc.
And then Eve is like, well, do it anyway. And it takes him, I think, like 8 seconds to get all the info. We find out that the card was just very recently used in Aberdeen. So we go to Aberdeen, Scotland. Have either of you ever been to Aberdeen, Scotland?
Or Scotland, maybe?
Yeah, I was gonna go there after you say no.
Okay, yeah, no, I have not been to Aberdeen, Scotland.
How about Scotland in general?
Not me.
Nope.
I've been.
Wow.
Yeah, it was for a project, and I loved Scotland, possibly partly because I loved that project. But I also then stayed there alone for a few more days and just explored it.
And were you in Glasgow?
In Glasgow. Yeah. Glasgow is the good city. Edinburgh is very pretty, but you can, like, take it in 2 hours, then go back to Glasgow.
I always wanted to go to Edinburgh because of, like, all the Harry Potter stuff, and now that that's all, you know,
tainted.
Tainted, yes.
Tarnished.
I was thinking of that one, but both are perfect for the situation. I no longer wish to go there.
Mm.
But Glasgow sounds really nice from what you've told me about it.
Yeah, my favorite part was the feminist library. I read about it online and it said that they had a roller derby collection and it wasn't on display, so I asked someone about it and she was like, oh, it's in the archives, come with me. And she took me to the archives and showed it to me. It was so nice and everyone was so nice and it's great. Okay, so let's talk about Aberdeen, Scotland.
Okay.
We're in a fancy looking hotel and Dasha is very upset with Villanelle about all the tartan that she's wearing. And they do this whole thing where they made a plan to say something and Villanelle doesn't go along with it. And the receptionist is looking at them funny and then Villanelle tells her that her mom has dementia. And the receptionist is cute.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a fun little scene, but I would have hated Villanelle to do this to me.
Yeah.
Woof.
Mostly how I feel about Villanelle.
Yeah, honestly. I would have hated if she killed me.
They supposedly decided that they're gonna go with a German background. But apparently, if you're wearing plaid, it's impossible to also be German. So
of course.
That fell through. Yeah.
Also, because you know all the Scottish people actually wearing tartan in the streets of Scotland. Yeah. And when you see someone
and
wearing...
kilts.
Yeah. And when you see someone wearing a kilt, just like casually, they're definitely not a tourist and stuff, you know.
Yes. I'm so happy that this show really, really understands that authentic Scottish experience.
Then they're in the elevator and they're talking about how Dasha gets to go home, which is wild to me that she actually thinks this will happen for her. And also, I still don't understand why she just physically cannot go to Russia and has not been able to go to Russia for the last 30 years when Villanelle is literally in a different city every 5 minutes.
To go to Russia, you have to, like, be invited. So maybe the 12 don't allow...
Even
like,
if
that
you're
to
a Russian.
Yeah,
citizen.
Then I'm thinking, yeah, like, she's Russian, so there's not that.
She's Russian, but maybe she doesn't have the passport.
Anyway, Dasha also presses Villanelle's wound. And then Villanelle, to retaliate, tells her that Russia has vegans now. We also find out that Dasha has a son. Then we see Konstantin coming home.
And we know what that means. Time to get spooked. I had the thought of like, the rule of threes, this has to happen for the third time, but maybe they're gonna, like, try to be all sneaky about it and not do it this time. Ooh, subversive. but then they did, and...
My notes are that Geraldine looks weird, and that Konstantin has a bed in the kitchen, and has this always been the case? And, like... Why is his apartment not as fancy as Villanelle's apartment?
But also, doesn't this apartment have like 2 stories?
Yeah, and isn't the bed upstairs? Like, maybe it's just a bed in every room. So maybe it is fancy. You know, the definition of fancy, a bed in every room.
My least favorite part of this scene is when Geraldine says filet mignon with a French accent.
Cool.
I totally forgot this scene even happened.
Same.
Like, at this point, I kind of thought that we're never going to see Geraldine again.
Same.
And that this thing with Konstantin is resolved. And I totally did not remember that she had like ulterior motives, but it was just before I realized it was fucking weird. Like, yeah. What the fuck is going on? This is so bizarre.
Yeah.
And after I realized what was going on, I was also like, why? I don't understand why you're so upset about this random dude.
Yep.
It's framed as if they had some like really deep relationship, or at least that Geraldine thinks that. And none of these things make sense.
It's very, very weird. It's really weird. Everything about the scene is so weird. Another thing that is weird about this scene is that we find out that Constantine leaves his key with his neighbor. That does not make sense for Constantine, but also that does explain why people are always in his apartment.
Yeah,
why hasn't he learned his lesson?
Just give that key to anyone.
So Geraldine is pretending that she just came over to have dinner with him because Carolyn is doing her thing. And then he doesn't want to have this dinner. And then she casually mentions that her mother found something important out, which is, as we know, true. So we think, oh, maybe she really did slip and say something important. And then he suddenly does want to have dinner with her. And then she starts yelling about how she didn't believe Carolyn when she said that Constantine is playing her. I want you dead.
And he says that that probably will happen.
Again with the foreshadowing.
Speaking of people that will shortly die. Dasha and Villanelle are on a golf course. And Dasha is thinking about how she'll miss killing people. And then they talk about how Americans are fat and loud, and that's bad.
Yeah, when Dasha is talking about how great killing people is, it really reminded me of how Villanelle used to look whenever she killed someone. You know, the sparkle in her eye, like she watched the person die with fascination. I feel like what Dasha is saying here is basically a description of what was happening with Villanelle. So that's why it was very odd to me that Villanelle was listening to this and not nodding along, but being like, I don't know, kind of weirded out. She seemed like she didn't get it.
This whole conflict between Villanelle and Dasha is kind of unexplored.
Yeah.
It could have been so interesting, but I don't even know what they're doing at this point. This show goes one step further from what sometimes shows do. So the rule is show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes shows tell instead of show. Mm-hmm. Killing Eve doesn't even do that. It just insinuates.
Yeah.
Insinuate, don't show.
Well, we have the opposite of that in the next scene, which is Eve in a car, and the person that is driving her is talking on and on about true crime walking tours, which is, by the way, the second time in this show that we get the Jack the Ripper walking tour recommended to us. Villanelle went to it, when she was in London.
Did I mention when that happened that I went to it when I was in London?
Do you think that Jack the Ripper walking tour paid Killing Eve to insert? Do you think this
sponsored
is a paid promotion?
We missed that both those times when that happened. There was a hashtag spawn.
Ina, would you recommend it as well?
I was very young, so I don't remember much. I remember being scared and I don't know why I went. So
okay, cool.
Like, not if you are anything like me. A scaredy cat.
So what I wanted to say is that the driver then says, some people have a problem with the glorification of violence, etc. But the wife and me, we love it. Which, I love it when the show is very subtle and, you know. Because, you know, when you are defending true crime, you don't go, some people have a problem with the glorification of the violence, but I think it's important to talk about it because it explains our, cultural anxieties, blah, blah, blah. No, you go, like, No, I love glorification of violence.
Especially if the murderer is hot.
So meanwhile, at the golf course, Dasha and Villanelle have lured an American into the bushes to help them find their golf ball.
It's very funny that there are four people going by, and it just so happens that the one guy they want dead is the single person that comes to help and just sends everyone away.
Yep.
They really studied his character beforehand. And knew
yeah, yeah, that's definitely how it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he justifies his death pretty quickly by saying that some girls won't even ask a man for help these days out of principle. And the faces that Villanelle is making while he's talking about how women are bad at
everything,
at their jobs, are just art.
Yes.
And then we get some scenes that are basically like, oh, it's gross because he's fat.
Oh, right, because we see his butt crack.
Yeah. Anyway, Villanelle decides to kill him, and it's like, oh, but will she be able to do it or not? And she's counting down, and then it looks like, oh no, she can't kill anymore. She's a broken killing machine. And then she hits Dasha instead and tells the man to run.
Again, I have no idea what the writers are going at here. They're trying to make it seem as if Villanelle doesn't want to murder anymore without giving any plausible explanation as to why. At the same time, they have her kill Dasha, but not this guy that she hates and were sent here to kill.
So are we supposed to believe that she's not having, like, a moral quandary of, oh no, is it bad that I kill? But it's just, oh no, I hate being told what to do.
Exactly. It's kind of unclear what the actual problem is here.
And this scene ends with, like, the good Killing Eve music playing and Villanelle leaving. I enjoyed that. And then we cut back to the cab. Eve in the cab.
Yeah, and this man that was just running away runs in front of the cab, and Eve tells the driver to stop and the man to come inside the car, and then she's like, where is Villanelle? Where is Villanelle? And then pushes him back out of the car.
That's a great way to describe it. I also just love that he says that there's this lady who is trying to kill him, and the first thing she asks is, what does she look like? God, Eve.
Am I right that for most of the people that Villanelle has to kill, it's at least a little bit explained why they have to be killed? Like, even as vaguely as he's an important politician. Mm-hmm. And for this man, did we get any info? Or is it just because he's American and fat? Anyway, the man had told Eve that this incident happened somewhere nearby, so we get the most...
No. Before we go to somewhere nearby, Eve tells the driver to drive to the 16th hole, which you can't just go with a normal car. There's no street by every hole. Like, what is she expecting to happen here? No, you gotta get somewhere close to the golf course and then walk to the 16th hole or get one of those little car things. I don't know. I just thought
maybe
that was
we
funny.
Can assume
I don't know.
That...
I've never been to a golf course.
Yeah, Nina.
Yes, I have been to some. So I have thoughts.
How embarrassing for you.
Oh, 100%.
So we go to somewhere nearby, which we are informed by a title page. And this is the most fun title page of this episode, and I'm really disappointed. Where's my chaotic bullshit?
Okay, but this one was very good.
I'm not disappointed in this one. This one's good. Just the general level.
I don't know what happens in this scene, because I didn't write much, but I wrote hot and fun, and I don't know if this is... regarding the scene or the title card somewhere nearby.
I don't know either what you meant, because what happens is Villanelle gets picked up by Constantine, and later Eve finds Dasha. So Constantine picks Villanelle up with a car, and Villanelle is upset that he's late, which I don't get. First of all, was he supposed to get there before she murders anyone? Or what? And also, what are we supposed to think happened to him? Because the last thing we saw happening with him was the previous night, so... But anyway, Villanelle and Constantine are going to get his money. And meanwhile, Eve finds Dasha, and Dasha is still alive, and she makes a comment about a lovely mustache like Stalin. And in that moment, Eve finds out that it was Dasha that stabbed Nico, and she steps on her, which was something.
Was this because she was like, do not compare Nico to Stalin?
That's definitely the part that she was upset about, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we hear like police or something coming, and Eve leaves Dasha.
Yes. And then we go to Mo, and Mo is calling Carolyn, and he says that he found the thing linking thingy to the thingy.
That was really good.
And then he says, you know, Paul to the 12, because I'm sure Carolyn would not get that.
And then we're all, oh no, Mo will die.
Yeah.
Especially because he's talking about making an omelet to celebrate, and he's going to run a bath and going to use a bath bomb. It sounds like a lovely evening.
I love how at the beginning of the episode, we got the info that Paul bought a bath bomb, and now everyone wants to take a bath because they heard of this bath bomb.
That's how it works. I went to France, I heard a lot of people talking about Duolingo, and now I have a 60-day streak.
Whoa, nice.
And then we find out the reason that we got introduced to Rianne at the beginning of this episode, because now we see her sitting on a bench looking menacing.
Hate it!
Meanwhile, Constantine is listing all the people and entities that want to kill him.
As you do.
And Villanelle is over it. My favorite part was when he bumps into a guy, Del yells at that guy, and then he's like, see? Now that guy wants to kill me.
No, but the guy yelled at him. It wasn't
Constantine. That's less funny then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to say it again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I wrote it better.
His show, take notes.
He also says that he's tired, and Villanelle tells him to up his magnesium. So that's a hot tip for all of you listeners that are tired, which I'm assuming is all of you. Up your magnesium.
Yep.
Anyway, then he has a heart attack.
He says, let's face it, Villanelle, I'm a prick. Another prick to shit. Which confuses Villanelle while he is dying there.
Yeah, so it's fun that he didn't have a heart attack any of those times people were jumping out at him. But he has one now, when nothing happened.
Mm.
And Villanelle is very upset with him for having a heart attack. She's like, where's your money? Where's your money? Tell me, where's your money? And he points to his pocket and she takes out a note. And then she tells him she actually doesn't want him to die and leaves, and Eve runs up.
Yeah, they just miss each other.
And Eve is like, Constantine! Constantine! Where is she?
Like, he has never looked more dead than at this moment. And, Eve! You asshole!
In this episode, Eve just keeps asking dying people where Villanelle is, which I love as a show of her priorities.
I thought you were going to say as a hobby.
So she tries to run after the train when Constantine manages to somehow nod towards the train. And Villanelle smiles when she sees Eve.
Yeah, Villanelle is looking out of the window and the train is moving and Eve is running after her and they kind of both do like a half wave and yeah. I enjoy it.
It was
this
good.
Is why it's I watch sexy. This show. Yes, exactly. Yes. But then it gets bad.
We see a shot of Mo dead. Let's move on. Caroline comes home. And Geraldine left a yoga mat in the kitchen, which even I would be annoyed with, I think. So Caroline is celebrating and she wants to order takeout. And Geraldine will eat anything vegetarian. And I just want to ask now, do you think Geraldine is vegetarian for the animals, for the planet, or for the health?
I think for the animals, because like, you know... feelings.
I think it's for the planet.
Me too, because she wants to feel morally superior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you get that with caring about animals as well.
I just think...
No, I completely accept your answer, I think. It's a fun game, thank you.
Anyway, Caroline is also gonna run a bath.
Yeah.
But then she gets a phone call.
Yeah.
And lies down and tells Geraldine that she's okay. She's just had some disappointing news, that's all.
And then there is, like, again with Geraldine telling Caroline to express her emotions and stuff as if this is the correct moment to have this conversation. I hate it. Like, we've been having this conversation this whole season, and she has to do it now when we're grieving for Mo as well. So annoying. So annoying.
Yeah, in this scene, I really felt like this is the 100th time we're having the same conversation.
Which, and this was the worst moment.
So boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caroline also comments that she feels like the walls are closing in on her, and that just made me think how much less in control Caroline seems in this whole season, I think, than the previous one.
That
it makes sense
true.
And all, but I know how I was thinking in the previous seasons, how she's always like 7 steps in front of everyone yes. else, and now she's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, before she appeared, like, she's the one running everything, but now in this season...
Her kid died?
Yeah.
Other people are running things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense because of, like, her kid's dying, and also I like it so that she is not the same character all the time. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I've never, like, consciously realized this.
Mm-hmm. Geraldine also comments that there's 2 inches of water on the floor, which is a lot of water. And I think if that was true, they would be calling the fire department and not having a conversation about their feelings. So this is proof that Geraldine exaggerates everything.
Yeah. Yeah, actually it is. Or maybe she doesn't know what inches. An inch is.
Fair.
Who does? Speaking of people lying down, Constantine is in the hospital. And I noticed here that he was not flown to a hospital in London because they do have hospitals in Scotland. And there's a nurse that is asking Constantine if he's under any stress, and he starts hysterically laughing, which I
love. It. Yes, I feel like that's what I would do. it's very good.
And then another person is laughing, and he looks over, and it's Dasha, and all the laughter dies in him.
They both just survived. No one dies in this season. Everyone, no.
Mo dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one that I want to die dies in this season. It's just Mo and Kenny. Ugh.
Yeah.
Shit, Kenny. Yeah.
It's only the good boys dying off to motivate the female characters. And then we go to Liverpool Street, London, which is a title page we get. And Villanelle calls Eve on the phone.
Yes.
And tells her that they have to stop meeting up like that. It's not good for either of them. And that's sexy.
Yeah, and then we get some fun music and we see Eve, and then we see Eve from a bit further away and then a bit further away. And it's a good end to this episode.
Okie dokie. So, in this episode, we have three outfits. The first one Villanelle wears at the very beginning of the episode in the armory. She is wearing a light purple turtleneck, a green oversized leather coat that has a belt and black lining that we see at the sleeve. She is again wearing some minimal earrings, her hair is down, and she has, I think, gray wide pant underneath this that is actually intentionally too long, and some white shoes.
I think this outfit really fits the location.
I think it really fits this vibe. I felt like the costume department wanted to make her look at the same time chic, but also like she doesn't care. So, you know, she's wearing a lot of this very loose clothing to appear as if she's not really that polished.
Yeah, but it's still pretty extravagant.
Yeah, but it's still extravagant. The next one she wears when they enter the Scotland Hotel, she is wearing this family tartan, which is a jacket, or it's almost a coat, honestly, and a long skirt in a blue-red tartan pattern. And this coat slash jacket has this chain on the sleeve on both sides, and there is just a black t-shirt underneath all of this. They didn't really showcase this outfit well enough because you mostly just see her waist up, and I wanted to see the actual skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last outfit is my my personal mortal enemy. It's the outfit she wears golfing. I really don't like it. I mean, not all of it, just, yeah, all of it. Okay, so she's wearing a jacket. This jacket is green and also a bit plaid, and it has like a lot of details. And then all over it, there's this fucking ugly green fake fur. This jacket is very short. It's basically a crop top. And with this, she is wearing green harem pants that are super, super pleated. So it's almost a pant skirt, because in the first shot, it looks like a skirt. And then you see her from far away and you see that it's actually a harem pant, which is the pant where, you know, it's wide, but then at the ankle, it fits your ankle. Mm-hmm. And she's wearing some turquoise gloves and white tennis shoes. And also her hair is up in like a bun or something. It's kind of hard to tell, but... So, what's your favorite outfit?
For me, it's the outfit that every Scottish person wears all the time.
Yes, mine too. Mine as well.
Same. It just has some really pretty colors in it, so... Mm.
Yeah, and it's very dramatic.
Yeah. Cool. Let's move on to the next segment, which is...
The Russian Corner.
Woohoo!
I have three things to talk about in the Russian Corner. First, Stroganov. Tamara, I think you wanted to say something about that.
Yes. I don't like it. It's something that my mom made a lot. It's like this sauce made out of mushrooms and cream and beef. And it's just kind of tastes of nothing. And I hope I never eat it again.
Thank you for your contribution. Second point, another point that starts with an S, it's Stanislavski. Irina says at some point to Konstantin that he should read some Stanislavski. And for a moment, I remember watching it and I was like, oh no, is this a Russian author that I don't know? Oh no. But no, he is a theater practitioner. That's what we read on Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's how Wikipedia described him.
And I know when I first looked into this, it was like, huh, okay, so he like figured out some methods in theater, blah, blah, blah. And since then, I have heard of his methods multiple times. So, a big deal, I guess.
He is pretty famous.
I think method acting comes, like, from his methods. Like, it's not method acting what he did, but it comes from that.
It's a pretty highbrow insult.
Which makes sense for Irina.
Yeah.
And all 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
The last point that I want to bring up in this Russian corner is that Villanelle says to Dasha that there are vegans now in Russia. And this really spoke to me because I think it's true. Like, Russia has changed so much since, like, when I lived there, which was from 2001 to 2004. And the last time that I visited it was in 2018. And yeah, there are vegans.
There are vegans now.
And I can imagine for Dasha, who like lived in Russia when it was still the Soviet Union, the change is so much bigger because for the people that don't know, Russia is not the Soviet Union anymore. It is quite different. Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you for the Russian corner.
You're welcome.
Let's move on.
Then I just want to do a tiny music corner.
Oh!
Specifically when Eve kills or tries to kill Dasha or thinks she killed Dasha, a song starts playing with the lyrics, "I see darkness in me," which is so on the nose, and I love it when killing Eve is so on the nose with the lyrics. It just, I don't know, it feels good.
And yeah, with lyrics, it doesn't ever bother me. It's never too much. It's like, it's good. It's just good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good moment of the thing that I feel like we are building up towards in this whole show with Eve becoming closer to Villanelle. And in this case, she does a murder.
Thank you for the tiny music corner.
Okay, let's rate this episode.
I rate this episode the L word Generation Q because so often on that show, I'm watching an episode and I'm like, this feels like a filler episode. It's boring, nothing good happens. And that's how I feel about this today episode.
I rate it a song by Owen Pallett, A Bloody Morning. The reason is that even though it's not a great episode, I did feel like the theme of the episode is things are falling apart. And as I was thinking about what feels like things are falling apart, I thought of Owen's albums and I kind of just scrolled through the lyrics and I found this one where one of the lyrics is, "Who gives a shit about them? When did they ever give a shit about me? Etc., etc." So I just thought it was quite fitting to Villanelle's point of view this episode.
Nice. I rated Why Women Kill, which is the TV show with Kirby Hall Baptiste, our lovely Elena, because, like, it's not a perfect rating because I think I did not enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed the show. But the rating feels right because a lot of it feels kind of like a soap opera, like the way some things are going. It just feels a bit convoluted and I'm annoyed with some things. But also there are like these extravagant outfits and it looks cool. And there are hot people. This is purely about Kirby. And there's also like some boring psychopath stuff there. So
I will say this episode had a good amount of very quality lines.
Yes.
And I want to acknowledge that because all in all, I did not love it, but I do appreciate that. I'm glad that at least on that front, this show is not yet letting me down.
And also there is the scene of almost meeting at the train station, which was quite impactful, if you ask me.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree.
Even though we've seen this happen like three times already, but still there is charge there.
It always works. I'm glad that it still works.
Yeah. Just make every episode of the show them almost leaving.
Maybe season 4.
For today's game, we are each gonna try to come up with the most extravagant, most out there location where even Villanelle could almost meet.
Okay, this is not most extravagant, but it is the first thing that I thought of, like, as you asked the question, and I think it is still appropriate. I would love for them to meet. Almost meet. In that forest in Forks. where Bella and Edward have the conversation of him being a vampire and stuff. I think that's an epic location of an epic love story. And I would love for them. I guess it's kind of similar to the thing in the first season where Villanelle is like almost shooting Eve. It's foresty, but not quite. Villanelle could be a spider monkey and jump a tree. I don't know. Yes, this is my answer. I would love to see that.
Out of the two of them, definitely Villanelle is Edward and Eve is Bella.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it would be fun if they almost met on the moon. That seemed pretty outlandish to me. One of their rocket ship is just leaving and the other one's rocket ship is just arriving.
That is and extravagant.
They look out of their rocket ship windows at each other and do the little half wave.
Nice, nice.
I had a very similar vision right now. Where they meet somewhere very high up. They meet at the top of the tallest building in the world, just as one of them is doing a dive off of it because she has to run away from the 12 or the police. Yeah. And just as she jumps, I would assume that would be Villanelle. They lock eyes and Villanelle falls in slow motion.
This is great, but I must tell you, this is not similar to meeting on the moon.
It's both high up.
Very different. Very differently high up.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to this episode of Queering Eve. We will record another one. We release new episodes every Tuesday evening. Have a nice week and remember to take the Jack the Ripper walking tour if you're in London.
Accurate. Okay, this is the like fifth time I've used the word accurate in this episode so far.
Say it differently.
Accurate.